Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and time to take a look at what's going on in the world of consumer scams. And we're going to start by focusing in a little bit on disaster scams. Unfortunately, there are some. In times of disaster, you know, you want to help. You want to help those in need, and our consumer experts are back to give you some tips so your donations go to legitimate organizations. With us today, Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to be here.
And Michelle Reinen, who directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, thanks for coming by again.
Well, thanks for having us back.
They come by every month to talk with us about all kinds of things relating to consumer scams, and I'm sure we'll get into a variety of things as we go through the show today. You can join us, by the way. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. If you want to post a comment on our Facebook page, please go ahead. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. And I want to start out a little bit by talking about Hurricane Harvey, the damage. As we just heard on the news, the damage has been tremendous. It's going to be tremendous for Irma as well as it comes. And this always calls for donations. Sandy, how can you tell if these calls for donations are legitimate?
Well, you obviously have to be skeptical. And we see this happen repeatedly after a major natural disaster, whether it happens in this country or anywhere around the world. Right now, you can imagine there are millions of dollars in contributions flowing into South Texas. And it won't be long till the money will be flowing into Florida. Well, criminals know that, and they want to grab a share for themselves. So they're flooding social media, email channels, the phone lines with fraudulent pitches for donations. So what we recommend people who want to donate do is go to the website of a reputable charity that's been around for years with an established track record. There are many out there, as you know, well-known established charities. Some of these pop-up charities are legitimate, but they're unlikely to have the infrastructure in place to get supplies or cash to where it needs to go to be of direct assistance. So go to an established charity. Our federal partners recommend a website, NVOAD.org, and that's an association of voluntary assistance charities that you can use as a reference. But if you receive a phone call asking for a donation, if you receive an email, just
don't go there.
Go to the website of a charity you know and trust, or you can call them yourself, but don't respond to a pitch for a donation.
And these pitches, I imagine, you know, they're playing on your heartstrings. And
sure. There are lots of photos on social media that are very compelling. If you click a link in a Facebook post, for example, you're likely to be directed to a lookalike charity website. You'll be prompted to enter credit card information and other personal information. It's just too... this kind of fraud is so prevalent right now. Just don't be lured into reacting or responding to a high-pressure pitch or a posting on social media. There was a federal task force that was established right after Katrina, and it was state and local and federal agencies. In 4 years after Katrina, they had indicted 1,300 individuals on this type of fraud-related crime. So it's incredibly prevalent. By all means, donate, but go directly to a charity you know and respect and trust.
So if they had 1,300 that they caught, Michelle, there probably were 1,300 they didn't catch.
Well, exactly. And think how long ago Katrina was at this point, yeah, and what technology was like and how many advancements have come with social media and things. So there's going to be that many more this time around. And this hurricane was that much worse as well. And we have Irma right behind, following here. And so we know that there'll be some devastation, you know, in the next days to come and more need there. So there'll be even more pop-up sites, pop-up crowdfunding opportunities.
Oh, crowdfunding, yeah.
That will entice people that way. You know, things to consider with crowdfunding is you don't know who's behind, who's administering that site afterwards. And like Sandy said, they may not really have the means to get the funds that they're raising to the spot where it's going to fulfill the most needs and do the most good. So we're not, you have to go with a known trusted. You have to be able to trust where you're donating. Be mindful and careful of all those imposters. Be very vigilant about typing in the website where you want to go and make sure you're not putting in any misspellings, because the crooks and criminals are going to take advantage, and they have for years, where it's American Red Cross, you know, a well-known one, and they're going to add an extra S, you know, America Reds Cross or something, and your typo is going to redirect you, and you're going to think you're where you need to be, and you won't be. And watching a .com versus a .org, most charities established are .orgs, and so you want to be paying attention that you really are where you need to be. And so the giving that you're doing will go where you want it to go and help those people you want to help.
And again, Sandy, what was that website again that people could go to
legitimate... Sure, it's a great resource. It's N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, O A D as in David, .org. And it's an association of legitimate charities. Many of them are faith-based.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll post that. Jill's probably already got that up on our Facebook page. Yeah, she said, nodding her head, yes, of course I have. So we've got that. And in the meantime, what about you? Do you have a question or comment maybe related to that or some other scam that has befallen you or that you have a question about anyway? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You know, before we go to the phones, there have been some other news scams out there, one involving pet adoption, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. We see this throughout the year, just in general, where there will be social posts that there is a pet available for adoption, and you can get that with a payment. So you secure the pet with a payment, and then there's all sorts of reasons as to why you can't meet up to pick up your pet, because usually you drive to a location, yeah, a joint location. You maybe need to buy more food or crates and have proof of that, or they want more money for those types of accessories. But now we believe and that there's been caution signs out there that this may heighten as well, because there's going to be a number of pets from these hurricanes that, yeah, will need rescuing. Hopefully most will just come north through legitimate shelters and registered and legitimate rescue sites, but that others may on their own try and rescue pets. And I'm using quotes as to, yeah, on their own, will they be legitimate or not? Or they may establish funds to help transfer the pets or, you know, find homes for the pets. So more the other, if you don't want to give directly down to the state and you want to be on the animal side of helping things, more scams and opportunities for taking advantage of people wanting to help that we need to watch out for.
Oh, boy. I expect, yeah, I haven't seen any of that yet in my email box, but I would guess that it's probably coming.
Yeah, you'll see it either in your email box or you may see it on the social media posts
way.
And then friends sharing friends, because there'll be, again, enticing stories. This animal, you know, a dog that survived this, and an adorable picture, because they're all very cute.
Yeah.
and it will try and entice you to help that facility where it's housed.
Well, let's take some questions. And again, we've talked for a bit here now about the consumer-related disaster relief scams. So we're obviously talking about other issues as well. So please feel free to join in at 800-642-1234. Jim in Madison has something for us first here. Jim, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have another other issue on my mind.
Sure.
Not related to hurricane relief. Credit card companies are required to send you a bill with a minimum number of days before the payment is due, to give you time to get the bill paid. Does that requirement apply to utility companies, specifically telephone companies?
So what I'm reading between the lines here is that you might be getting a bill from a utility company and it's got to be paid within a few days. Is that what you're...
Yeah, it's my phone company really, really, really wants me to sign up for electronic payment. So they tell me the bill is coming through an email, but then when I get it, I usually have like 9 or 10 days from when I receive it to when it's actually due.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find out if they're subject to a requirement concerning that time period.
Gotcha. Thank you for calling.
In the regulations that we have that govern the telecommunications industry, cell phones, landlines, there is no requirement, standard billing cycle that exists that says a consumer should have X days to pay upon receipt of that bill. But oftentimes, there's something, if it's a cell phone, in that agreement that you know what your billing cycle is and that it'll be due on the 25th of every month, but there isn't anything that they have to get it to you by the 19th or the 9th or anything like that. You just figure out what their normal billing cycle is and be prepared for that type situation. But many of them are trying to transition to either electronic pay or electronic statements in that regards. And sometimes that's in your contract as well, that they'll only issue bills electronically. And that could come up at a renewal time if you continue on with a carrier for a number of years.
Oh, there we go. So there you go, Jim. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Marion in Hollandale next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
One of my granddaughters received a letter that, they had made the National Honor Society, and she had made it in high school, but that was legitimate. And then the other day she says, well, I have to send in this $80 to get to enter this program. So that kind of raised a red flag, and so I thought, I'm going to call Larry today and see what happens.
Well, there could be not some good things happening.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Let's see what Sandy's got to say.
There
Sandy?
There are many, many honor societies out there that charge an annual fee to join. And it can be difficult, especially for a college-age student, to sort out what's really legitimate and what's not. And some of the more questionable societies, and again, I'm using the air quotes, they claim to have many thousands of members, you know, and all these great activities. What I would recommend is that she do some searching around on the internet to find out what kind of background information she can find out about this group. She could talk to her advisor, potentially. Larry, you would be an expert on that.
I would help her if I was. I would do some searching myself. Some of it I know. I know some of the companies. So there are some that I know that don't do it right off the top of my head. But I think a good advisor, a campus advisor, should be able to help in those circumstances, because campus advisors, believe me, we hear all kinds of things from our students along those lines. So that's the advice. I think that's great advice that you gave there.
Okay. Well, thank you. I kind of raised the flag, and I thought, well, we better check this out.
I'll tell you another one, Marianne. I got an email the other day, about a week or so ago, that I had been selected to serve on this board due to my great abilities as in the radio business and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, I had just gotten an award and all this. So I'm thinking, oh, I wonder. I better look into this. So I asked Jill, and Jill said, oh, I got that email too. And then I think everybody at Wisconsin Public Radio got that same message. And it turns out it's, to serve on this board requires quite a bit of money up front from you in order to serve on the board.
Yeah. If you pay to serve, it's not that great an honor.
So it happens all the time and in a lot of ways, Marion.
Well, thank you very much for your advice.
Pass that back to her. Tell her to be cautious, okay? Oh, man. Tell you what, we're talking today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Getting some calls in. What about you? Is there a scam that you're worried about? Maybe you're wondering about these hurricane relief scams that may be out there. Or maybe something else happened to you. Give a call. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Today on 1A, our program, Hurricane Irma hammering the Caribbean and putting Florida on alert, bracing for Irma and planning for its aftermath. That's what we'll be talking about at 1 o'clock on our new show called 1A. Right now, taking a look at consumer scams. We've talked a bit about those disaster scams, but there are other things going on as well, as you probably well know. So I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Cheryl in Eau Claire next. Cheryl, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I've discovered I can pay some of my credit card bills over the phone with a check. And when I go through the process of contacting the company, they ask me for my last four digits of my Social Security number. And I'm always hesitant giving out Social Security information. Is the last four digits enough for somebody to get and do me harm?
What do you think, Michelle?
Well, so there's factors here that need to be considered. And one of the things that you said makes it more okay to me, and that is that you made the phone call and you're using information that you received. But when dealing with finances and financial institutions, typically you are having to convey Social Security information for verification purposes. And it is usually the last four digits, but it depends. Are you confirming with someone that you have made contact with, or is it someone who's calling you trying to confirm information? But if you're initiating it, that's a more positive action than if someone's dialing you.
But is the last four digits enough of information for people to, delve
cause some
into
harm?
History?
Well, it can be if they have the other digits, and that's why if they are calling you, I would never initiate that. But since you're making the call, they're making sure that the person that's calling them is you, and that's a verification means.
Same thing with credit cards.
Okay, because then I hang up on, because I thought, no, I don't give that out, and I just hang up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can talk to them about establishing a different form of password, too. Some will offer that opportunity for you, so you can see if there's a different means of doing verification.
Okay. I was just wondering if I was overcautious or what, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Always good to be cautious, as Cheryl says. Marge in Wauwatosa, it's your turn. Hi, Marge.
Hi, Larry. This is just more informative than anything else. 5 years ago, my daughter was enrolled in a school in Minneapolis. She became very ill and had to be hospitalized. And it was 3 days after the the drop-dead date for leaving the college. So my husband and I spent a lot of time getting her debt forgiven and sending all of her grants back. 5 years later, she started getting done by a collection company for this tuition payment. So I wrote to the lady that you're talking to now. I wrote to the United States Department of Commerce and the Minnesota Department of Commerce, I believe is their name. And guess what? All of a sudden, all of the dunning calls and letters stopped. So, you know, I just think it's a big scam. And even the university she was at wrote and apologized, but she hasn't been called by the collection agency for a month since I wrote these letters.
Oh.
So I just want people to know that they don't have to take that kind of harassment.
Yeah.
And that all you have to do really is be vocal.
Yeah. Well, it's some good information there, Sandy, and.
Yeah,
maybe you can expand on that
sure,
a little bit.
Sure, it sounds like maybe there was some kind of an accounting error or something going on, so there was a legitimate debt collection company following up on what it thought was a real debt, and once the error was cleared up, the call stopped. However, there are a lot of fake debt collection crooks out there. And so in this case, she followed up appropriately and the call stopped. But if you get a call from a debt collector on a debt you don't owe, you certainly should follow up with authorities. And if it's a fake debt, just ignore the calls. And sometimes they can get very, very threatening. But just, you know, cut off all kinds of communication because, you know, it's a fake organization of some kind.
If you can now, if somebody that happens to someone, can they call your office and or go online to your office to file a complaint?
Sure, you can always do that. And some of these regulations on debt collectors are housed in the State Department of Financial Institutions.
Ah.
And if that's the case, we'll sort through it and refer your complaint wherever it's appropriate. But I'll give out our contact information for people who would like to file a complaint. You can go online to our website, which is datcp.wi.gov. And it's really easy to file a complaint online, and you'll upload any documents that you have that help explain your complaint to us. Or you can call us at a toll-free number, 1-800-422-7128. And we have people there taking calls during regular office hours. If you call in the evening, we'll return your call the next day. And sometimes it's really helpful to have somebody to bounce some of these things off of. Like this lady, you know, my daughter's getting these calls. Are they legitimate? What can we do to stop them? And the people who work on the consumer hotline will help you sort through those questions and give you some pretty good advice on moving forward.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah, go ahead, Marge.
You're welcome. I hope that's helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your call. Well, let's take some more calls. There is an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Lisa in Westboro, it is your turn. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. What's on your mind today?
I earlier today got a phone call on my cell phone from a representative claiming to be from the Publishers Clearinghouse, saying that I want some money. He didn't address me by name, but I was curious: is there any scams out there concerning this? Because he did ask me to call him back, so
yeah.
I figured I'd. Might as well ask.
Yeah.
You know what? Unfortunately, there are tons of scams relating to Publishers Clearinghouse. And the way it usually works is that somebody will call and say, you're the big winner. You may have won the $100,000 prize or the $1 million prize. And all you have to do is pay some taxes or processing fees up front. Well, of course, you pay that money and you never see the big prize. And this is a scam that's evolved over time to become more and more complex. And unfortunately, some of these callers can become very, very aggressive and threatening. So I would advise you to cut off communications with this person, because it's likely to get pretty, tend towards the harassment end of things.
There you go.
And if you really are the big winner, they'll get in touch with you through the mail or some other means. I've seen on TV, they come to your front door. Even.
With a great big check.
Yeah, right.
Balloons, too.
And balloons.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, that's what I thought. They just showed up. They didn't call anybody.
Yeah. Right. Well, you don't call him back.
All right. So do I take the information and his telephone number and his name and give it to someone?
It would be great if you'd let us know any information that you have about him. You can use the website address that I just gave, datcp.wi.gov, and whatever showed up on your caller ID, anything you remember that he said to you will be helpful to us.
Yeah, he even gave me his name.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, right? All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, your name. All right. Mary and Beaver Dam, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Yes, this involves a recent puppy sale scam in our family. Our daughter had puppies for sale. She advertised them on the social media. A very interesting party sent her a check for three times the amount of the puppy, saying, "I'm doing this to hold the puppy." She was puzzled. The check was taken to the bank. The bank checked the account. There was no money in the account. And I'm not sure what they were going to be doing, but it's something that is going around frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is what we refer to as more of a fake check scam, where you are selling something and a buyer comes along and overpays for it. And the check looks legitimate. The bank can't see that it's not legitimate. They cash the check and put it in the account. Then you're contacted to refund some of the money or forward it for something else, but keep a little extra for your troubles for that purpose. And then you send your product or deliver the puppy, and you spend the money that you've received, and you also send that extra overpayment money as they've indicated or asked you to do, and then you're out your puppy and the amount of money for the check and maybe any overdraft fees and things that you have, and you're out some of your own money that you've forwarded on as well. So it's a pretty common scam that we've seen, unfortunately. We've seen it with puppies. We see it with a lot of high dollar value items, boats, cars, even some property rentals, vacation rentals as well, but all about a fake check and an overpayment situation.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much for calling, Mary. Appreciate your call. You know, there's one, before we go back to the phones here, I just hate these calls and the certain calls that I get that where, well, let me give you an example. So the other day I get a call and it looks like my daughter's number. So I go to answer it and it was close to my daughter's number, but it wasn't her number. And of course, then they want to, I forget, sell me something, which of course I hung up on right away. And that there's a name for that, isn't there? Because the number was close, neighbor spoofing or something like that?
We've talked about this before, but now it has a name. It's called neighbor spoofing. And we've talked a lot about how criminals can manipulate your caller ID to look like whatever they want it to look like. And one of the tricks they use is using a local exchange number that's sometimes just a little bit different than your own phone number, because you're usually more likely to pick up the phone when it looks like it's from a neighbor or somebody in your own town. Well, in your case, it looked like your daughter's number and it worked. You picked up and were subjected to a fraudulent pitch of some kind.
For about 5 seconds.
Yeah. So we've said this a million times over the years, The message here is don't trust your caller ID, because the crooks can make your caller ID say whatever they want it to.
And, you know, back in the day, we used to know everybody's number. But now anymore, even my own daughter, I just go to Emily and push a, you know, push the name on the phone, and then the you know, it calls. And so I never look at the number. I look at the name. So I just don't know those numbers like I used to.
Right. But normally, if it's calling your cell phone where that's programmed, it's going to show up as Emily again, too.
It should. Yeah. Dumb me. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So that's one thing. But you're going to see, you know, calls come in from, if you live in Janesville, from Beloit, and they won't really be from there. The other day, I was in Madison and got a call from McFarland, the city next door type. But no message. It must not have been that important, or anyone I knew. I just let those go to voicemail, and if it's something I need to deal with, there'll be a message there for me.
Yeah. Larry, you were supposed to download one of those call blocking apps on your smartphone. I don't think you did that.
I didn't do it. I haven't done it yet. You know what? Terry in North Lake has a kind of question relating to that. Let's go there. Hi, Terry.
Hi. In fact, it was exactly that. And I was wondering how, if there's something out there to block, or how to prohibit that from happening.
All right. Have you got an Android, or do you have an iPhone?
iPhone.
Yeah, there are a lot of mobile apps out there that you can use to either block calls or screen calls. I tend to try a lot of them because I just like to see how they work. And the one I'm using right now is called Hiya, H-I-Y-A.
Okay.
It works great.
Do you have an iPhone?
I have an Android. Yeah, but I think it works.
It works for both.
Hiya.
So what does it block?
Well, all this information from consumers and now from the Federal Trade Commission is shared with these companies that have the apps. So the app will blacklist certain calls that have been flagged as fraudulent or telemarketing sales call. So you can set your phone, the apps all work differently, but you can usually set it to ring once or not ring at all if it's one of the blacklisted calls. It works great. And then, you know, you'll have a notification pop up, and you can look at it and decide whether you want to return the call or not. But there are a number of apps out there, and everyone I've tried is the greatest.
Oh, interesting.
Hiya.
Okay,
all
I will.
Right.
I'll try it.
Maybe over the newscast I'll install it on my phone, and we'll see what happens. Thanks, Terry, for calling. Appreciate it. You can call in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. We'll get you on pretty quickly with your consumer scam question, or just consumer question. Andrew in Milwaukee, it's your turn, though. Let's go there. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Larry. I actually had just last week one of those neighbor spoofs happen to me. I'm from Marshfield, Wisconsin, and the area code 715. And so I've been receiving a lot of calls with the 715 area code, and I've been kind of just, you know, I haven't been answering them. But there was one that's an 897, and that's actually my mom's number is an 897, and so I just answered it, thinking that it was someone that I possibly knew.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was a caller said he was calling for a veterans fund, and it wasn't a veterans fund that I recognized. Usually, like, Wounded Warriors Project is a really big one. But, when he directed my call, then it was a loud, like, telecenter or whatever. I heard a bunch of communication, like, a bunch of people talking in the background. And the guy that answered it to get my information was Indian, like, with an Indian accent. And that kind of red flagged me. And so I hung up right away. I didn't want to give him any of my information at that point.
Yeah. You did the right thing, probably, didn't you, Michelle?
Absolutely. Hanging up, not answering, hanging up, definitely not giving out information. That's the perfect thing to do. You know, this is going to sound pretty depressing, but last year people received 2.5 billion robocalls every month. And so that's where all these apps and this need is. I mean, it's a demanding drive right now for this need and some changing of the FCC requiring that calls be connected and looking at that whole process there. We've heard it. We hear it on the show, all the calls that go through with these robocalls. And the voices are being heard, and these apps are being developed to minimize that. So if you're not dealing with a smartphone and you have a voice over internet, such as your cable company is providing, there's other devices, a Nomo Robo, your company you deal with may have a blocking system. I know the local cable company here has now developed something to block robocalls and unwanted solicitations there. If you have a traditional landline, you're going to want to talk to your carrier, but otherwise there's add-on equipment you can purchase at the store, answering machines and things that will still block calls. So lots of options.
I'm trying to do the math in my feeble brain here, but it's about 30 billion or a little more than 30 billion calls a year in the United States.
It was our number one complaint in Wisconsin. It was the number one complaint across the nation, certainly as far as telemarketing unsolicited robocalls.
Andrew, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, and good for you for hanging up. Let's go to Kent in Monona next. Hi, Kent.
Well, hey, Larry. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know we were talking about call blocking apps. I have one for my Android phone called Mr. Number, and it is fantastic. It lets you report calls that you think are suspicious. It shows you community reports. You can write a little bit about why you think it is a fraudulent call. And you can set it to block text messages, phone calls. I don't even get a ring when I get calls from certain numbers now. So I would recommend for Android, Mr. Number is a really good app for that. And then I also wanted to quick mention that I don't know if everyone's aware of it yet, but the Google phone call scam is still going on. I keep getting those calls at my job. Google never calls people, so anytime anyone calls saying they're from Google, hang up.
Yeah. And you guys are familiar with that Google scam, Sandy?
Yeah, there are several. One might be the tech support scam. Another one that I'm aware of focuses on small businesses, and they say we're selling you ad space on Google or a space in the Google directory, and they ask you for money. So that's an obvious scam. One thing I want to mention, ad on the mobile apps. Most of these mobile phone apps allow you to receive calls only from your contacts, or you can create a list of phone numbers that you're willing to take calls from. And that's a great feature if you have a child with a phone or a vulnerable adult with a smartphone. So you, in effect, are only receiving phone calls from people you want to hear from and nothing else.
There you go. Thank you, Kent.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Have a question or maybe an experience to share about a consumer scam that you have experienced or maybe a relative or friend experienced? 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. Jill Nador, on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer scams today with our guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They come by once a month to talk with us about what the heck is going on out there. You can join in, too. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And, of course, you can call us at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Janesville next and talk with Jennifer. Jennifer, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I was calling in. I had a call about a month ago. It was on my landline, and he left a voicemail indicating that he was with the IRS and that a warrant had been issued for my arrest for unpaid taxes. And I have an 8-year-old son, so when he heard this message, he got really upset.
Oh.
So I did call the number back. I looked up the number first online, and, you know, it immediately alerted me that it was a scam, which I already knew. But I called him back and, you know, basically said, you're not with the IRS. And he started yelling at me, swearing at me, telling me that he was with the IRS and that I needed to provide my information and pay, you know, this exorbitant amount of money in back taxes, and which I don't owe back taxes. So, but it was quite scary, you know.
Yeah. You might have been better off not to call back at all. Michelle, what do you think?
Sure. We certainly encourage consumers to not engage and not call back if a message is left. She, you know, by calling and just being sure that she disconnected the call afterwards was a good thing.
I think Michelle is going to sneeze, so I'll take over here. Yeah, this has been one of the most pervasive scams in the country for the last 2 or 3 years, so you're not alone in receiving this phone call. And typically, they get very, very aggressive, and if you engage with them, they call back, and first they say they're with the IRS Court Commission, and then they say they're with law enforcement, and they're coming to arrest you if you don't pay. So there are a number of these, we call them imposter scams, where the crook pretends to be from the IRS or Medicare, and whoever they say they are, it's followed by a request for some kind of personal information that they can use to commit ID fraud or ID theft, or a request for a credit card or bank number, and then they'll steal for you. So certainly be skeptical and resist any requests for personal information of any kind.
Thanks for calling, Jenna.
You know, part of the reason I called back was just honestly out of anger because it was so upsetting, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I did block the numbers and I reported it online. But thank you, and thanks for addressing this topic. I think it's really important.
Yeah, thank you very much for your call. Well, let's turn to John in Cumberland next. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What can we do for you today?
Well, I just, you know, I agree with everything that's been set up to this point. There's a lot of scams going on, and we all need to be very aware of things like this taking place. Of course, especially with the elderly, those things are happening more and more. But I also wanted to reiterate on some of the things I was thinking about earlier that there are a lot of legitimate companies. I used to work for one that, in fact, is still doing telemarketing in local areas that get hung up on quite a bit because people think they're scamming due to a lot of publicity of, you know, stations bringing out things about scam artists and telemarketers, which is great, but a lot of times in the entire radio show, we never hear, hey, there are legitimate companies out there still trying to feed their families.
Yeah,
and there are plenty that are certainly still starving out there that are not wanting to live off the state and actually making a living, you know, windows or siding. Maybe satellite sales. There could be a number of legitimate companies that are still there.
Yeah, you know, he's absolutely right, isn't he, Sandy?
Sure. There are legitimate charities that telemarket, and the same goes for door-to-door sales. You know, there are a lot of legitimate companies that still go door-to-door. I would say that our laws are set up to protect those honest businesses in the marketplace and separate out the fraudulent operators from the legitimate businesses. We've been overtaken in the last 5 years or so by this computer-generated fraud that comes to our email boxes and our telephones. And unfortunately, that has had an impact on legitimate businesses who use that kind of sales practice. We've also heard from some government people who say, boy, it makes it really difficult for us to call a client or a consumer when they immediately assume that we're a crook. So, yeah, it has had it's difficult to measure the impact that this just incredibly pervasive fraud has had.
Not only on the people who get scammed, but then on the legitimate
businesses right.
Like John's talking about. Absolutely. John, thanks a lot. I'm glad to get that back out in front of people. Appreciate your call. Alice in Green Bay, it's your turn. Let's go there. Alice, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I have a concern because I had paid for a rental in Florida, and I've signed the contract, and a month later, the contract was canceled, and now I am not able to get my deposit back. She keeps making excuses, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do about that.
Okay, it's probably going to involve consumer protection in Florida, I would think, Michelle.
Absolutely. But if they file with us, a complaint with us, then we can always forward it to Florida as well, just to assist with that. And we can look at it based on where transactions took place and any representations that were made as well to make sure that we wouldn't have a hand in it. So she can go to our website, datcp.wi.gov, to file that complaint. Or call 1-800-422-7128 to have a complaint form sent out.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Rhoda in Taylor County, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes. We have a lot of elderly scams here, too, constantly. But my thing is, we're a dead zone for cell because we don't have any tower. So we all have landlines. How do we block landline phones for the scams?
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough one because the solutions aren't as good as for people who have cell phones or a
landline.
Internet-based phone system. Probably the best thing to do would be to check with your carrier. Most carriers have some kind of service available for the old copper-wired phones. They usually allow you to block between 10 and 30 numbers, but you may have to program in or use a command to identify the numbers that you want to block. And some allow you to block a call that comes in on your caller ID is anonymous or private, and a lot of telemarketers use that tactic. But I think the best thing to do would be to check with your phone company and see what they have available.
Yeah.
There is a type of device, I believe, you can buy. Michelle, does that work on the landline?
Yes, it can. So it's usually an answering machine, or there's a blacklist device that can be purchased. Yes, that can work on the landline because the voice over internet ones are more application based, that are that digital based ones that you're getting from the Nomo Robo or directly through your cable carrier.
Okay, there we go. So they're out there. So how would you go about?
Yeah, you can either call your carrier's customer service line, or if you have internet, you can look online. It just varies from carrier to carrier. Some allow you to set up private hours where you don't want your phone to ring, and some charge a fee for some services. Others are offer it free. So it just varies by carrier.
Yeah, and if you're looking for hardline devices to physically attach for the landlines, you're just going to want to Google, blacklist machines, answering machine, or some of the big box stores just carry them in the phone section.
And I would think that even the local carriers would have heard this enough times in Taylor County that they would have some ideas about when devices that work. Maybe not.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks, Rhoda, for calling. Carolyn in La Crosse. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody brought this topic up, but I listed a higher-end car on Craigslist, and I just got a phone call to my cell phone that left a message and said that we deal with this higher end market of those kind of sports cars, yada, 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 and we'll sell it for you. And so I called the company, and it's called Once Driven, and it's known to be a scam. So I just kind of want to alert people. And if you Google Once Driven, there are people already making comments about how they've been swindled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so you didn't get swindled, though, Carolyn.
No, I Googled it, and I tried to call back and get information, because it called from one number, but left a different business number to call back.
Yeah.
Well, good job, Carolyn, checking them out before you engaged in any kind of transaction with them or agreement. And by Googling with complaint or scam the name, that's often kind of a research tip that we give consumers to do with anything.
Something that we often suggest, if you're going to list something on Craigslist, especially if it's a high-value item, read the FAQs on Craigslist so you have an idea of what you're likely to encounter, because those kinds of fraudulent messages, unfortunately, are just so common, and we hear about that all the time.
Yeah, so if you've got a expensive car, I mean, there's a lot, we're talking about a lot of money here. So that would, to me, it would be a real red flag. I would really want to do my research before I sold or tried to sell a car that way on Craigslist or any other list for that matter.
Yeah, you're going to want to, you know, before that transaction, in my opinion, meet in a very public place. Make sure it's a cashier's check payment that's verified and double checked for, you know, before you hand over those keys. Because you're going to want to watch out for that fake check scam that we heard about earlier with the puppies. Yeah. We see that a lot with the boats and the rentals, high-end things.
Thanks again, Carolyn, for calling. Appreciate it. Visiting today with Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy Chalmers is the Assistant Deputy Secretary with the department. We'll be back with our guests right after the news. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about consumer scams today. Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen, our guest. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag. So I hope you'll join in with your consumer questions. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And I want to go back to your website just a minute so that people know once they go to the website to file a complaint, they go to datcp.wi.gov. And then, Sandy, we get the main page, the home page, and if you look to the right, isn't that right? You look.
Sure. If you look to the right, there's a most requested area, and you click on complaints. And when that opens up, you click on consumer complaints, and that will take you through the online process. The other easy way to get there is to click on the consumer tab. It has a grocery cart there. It looks like you're going shopping. And you'll see a link to file a complaint there as well. So we try to make it easy for people. But if you run into trouble trying to file a complaint online, you can call the toll-free number and somebody will either walk you through it or send you a paper form to fill out.
1-800-422-7128 is that particular number. Well, let's take some more calls. Deborah in Appleton's been waiting a bit here. Let's go there. Hi, Deborah. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a two-part question, so I'll keep it brief here. We do a lot of purchases or rentals through VRBO. We've always had really good luck. Is there some type of membership fee that the rentals have to pay themselves? And can we be guaranteed those are a little bit more legitimate? And second question, if and when you pay with a credit card, whether it's VRBO or anything else, do you have a second layer of recourse, if you will, that if you are scammed, you have any kind of recourse going back through your credit card company to get any kind of money back?
All right, Sandy, you want to start?
It can be difficult to tell the difference between a fake and legitimate property rental advertisement. We've seen over and over that crooks will take a photograph of a home that's for sale or another or legitimate rental property, and they'll create a fake ad. So something, I'm not familiar with how VRBO works, whether it's a subscription or a membership type thing where the rental properties have to pay a fee to join. But some things you can do if the landlord or rent owner asks you to pay by wire transfer or by iTunes card or something like that, chances are it's a scam. Something else you can do is Google the address that's listed for the rental. And if it comes up as a different property or something like that, obviously you have a problem. It always is a better idea to use a credit card because you're guaranteed certain protections under federal law. There's a dispute process that's in place. So we would recommend that as well.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Jacob in Madison up next. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, I'm on speakerphone. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm calling. The reason I'm on speakerphone is because I just a couple of days ago got a call that came up on my caller ID saying nothing but Russia.
That was the only word?
That was the only word, and I've been on my keypad trying to go back to the numbers that have recently come in so I could report to you the exact number, but I can't get back to the recent calls list while I'm on my phone. Oh. I just wondered if you'd ever heard of such a strange thing.
New one to me. What about you, Michelle?
It is, but with caller ID, they can. There's technology available where you can represent anything on the caller ID that you want to, and maybe there are telemarketing scams that come from all over, many of them being international, and there is a possibility that the one call that you received didn't get masked and didn't get spoofed and it just showed the location that the call was coming from, and it could have been one of these call rings as well. So I have no real explanation for that other than maybe the call didn't actually end up getting spoofed and that's really where the call came from.
It's really difficult to know what's behind this, but Michelle will remember for a while we had an uptick in callers who reported their caller ID saying scam call. Mm-hmm. And in almost every circumstance, they picked up because they were curious. So for that crook, that was a great tactic. So who knows what was behind this?
Yeah, if they got you to pick up, then they've got your number, so they have they now know that's a usable number.
Yeah, so some of these calls that are received are just to validate how well you can be enticed. You know, they end up on lead lists that get sold, and each lead list, depending upon what kind of numbers are on there, will have different value. So here's a list of numbers that are legitimate. Here's a list of numbers that are legitimate that answer the phone and actually engage in the call. And here's a list of numbers that answer the phone, engage in the call, and purchase things. Each one of those lists is going to have a different value on the marketplace.
Oh, there we go. Thank you so much for calling, Jacob. We have Chris on Facebook says she has a problem with a scam called Lucky J Serum. She ordered a trial product for $10, and they keep sending her product monthly for $200 and won't stop or let her send it back. Her credit card says they can't stop the recurring payments. How does she stop this? Can she cancel her credit card?
She should file a complaint at this point in time. We have laws in place as it relates to trial offers versus in negative option or sales that aren't authorized after the trial offer. So she should file a complaint at this point so we can be reaching out on her behalf to look into this. So going to the website, datcp.wi.gov, and on that right-hand column, filing a complaint, clicking on that, or calling 1-800-422-7128.
Yeah, that's definitely, I'd be following up on that for sure. Ben in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Larry. I purchased a ticket with Spirit Airline the other day and found out, and I also paid for carry-on, to pay for my luggage there and back. In the meantime, I went out and purchased a suitcase because the size changed that they allowed you to bring on, your personal item.
Yeah.
So I called them back, and they said they wouldn't refund the difference back to me. They would only give me a credit, and I had to use the credit within 60 days. And I told them, I don't fly. I'm not planning on flying in 60 days. I'm not planning on flying the next year. I want a refund, and they wouldn't give me it. Do I have anything to stand on there?
I don't think so. Michelle, what do you think?
No, I don't think so. Most times when you pre-purchase your baggage check or your baggage carry-on, it indicates that it's not refundable on there.
Really?
And there is nothing in state law that says that a company must provide refunds. It's just if there is a refund policy, they need to honor what they say their policy is.
Okay, so I couldn't find any fine print, to get that squared away, and they were just insistent it was either a credit or a hang up. So I couldn't get any satisfaction back from them. But it's a good thing to know up front then.
Mm-hmm.
If people are, I don't usually I go within their sizes, and this time I decided to go and pay for it to have it carried on, and turns out I'm going to pay double, because I'm going to pay for the carry-on because they're going to give me a credit, but I'm not going to use it, and I'm going to pay for some luggage I bought. So I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, there you go. Unfortunately, in this case, you're probably out of luck. Not probably, but you're probably for sure out of luck. Thanks, Ben. Mary in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. See, I have a question. I work for a company that has, about 300 cell phones that they had through Verizon. And what about, they went and sold the numbers, evidently, to all our cell phones. And we keep getting credit card calls.
Oh, so the company that you, the service provider, is it? Or is it the...
The service provider, Verizon, went and turned around and sold all our phone numbers to telemarketers.
Oh, I see. All right. Can they do that?
Well, I have not heard of that before. I'm not aware that they can turn around and sell those numbers, but how is it that we're aware that, did they say that they sold the numbers?
It's all our Verizon phones. Every one of us drivers for Abbey Vance has turned around and gotten cell phone, numbers telling us it's your final notice on credit cards.
Hmm. So it may be that, all right, so this is kind of a company thing. It may be that it's not just you guys as drivers. It may be a whole bunch of other people too, and it just seems like it's only you guys being singled out. But Sandy, what should Marty do?
Well, Michelle used a number that Larry multiplied a little earlier in the show. I think we came up with 30 billion fraudulent telemarketing calls a year, and that's really difficult to imagine. But we hear quite frequently from people who put their number on the no-call list and then start getting telemarketing calls, and they think that we sold the phone numbers to some kind of fraudulent company. And it's just so prevalent now. Everybody receives these fraudulent calls about everything. I don't know whether there's any possible connection on the credit card, whether you even have company credit cards or whether that's possible that it's a legitimate call, but that's something that you should follow up with your company finance people, I guess.
Yeah, well, I would definitely with them, and I would assume they'd be calling and checking with Verizon to see if that, in fact, what happened, that they sold the numbers. But hard to imagine that they would have, but it's, I guess, anything's possible. I'd check with your own company first and see what they can come up with for sure. And, you know, you can always file a complaint, too.
Yeah, we'll contact Verizon on their behalf, since that's where they think it stems from, and then follow it from there.
Okay, and so just go... go to the datcp.wi.gov online. You can file a complaint there, or just call 800-422-7128, and you can file a complaint there. Thank you very much for calling, and good luck with that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gloria in Platteville next. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What a needed, Sandy. Thank you for being there, you know, for the customers, for the consumers. Thank you so much. And you, Larry, thank you for having this on the air. Really appreciate it. It is so needed. Okay, so I have a lot of different concerns, but my major concern just lately is I have a debt, a fairly large one, probably with with student loans.
Okay.
I have received this call and saying, oh, you can reduce your student loan. And I'm not even, you know, at the point where I have to pay my loans back, but they're saying, oh, you better start thinking about this, and we can reduce your student loan. And I'm thinking, okay, is this true? Is this fraudulent? Can this be? You know, because you're borrowing money from the federal government for your student loans to go to school.
Yeah. So, well, that's a good enough question. You're probably not the only one that's gotten that, Gloria. What about it, Michelle?
There are many student loan consolidation scams out there because there is a lot of student loan debt nationally. So you have to be very cautious, because there are some legitimate ways to consolidate student loan debt and programs available. Usually you're not called in order to do this. You're not solicited to consolidate that. It's something that you as a consumer go out and seek.
Apply for.
So that's one way to determine, or at least start to determine, some legitimacy or what you're going to get. You want to check out the company, know exactly what you're going to get. You shouldn't have to pay for the service on the upfront typically. So there are lots of tips out there on how best to make those decisions. And oftentimes it's through that application process as well. So you can call Consumer Protection to get information to see if we've had any complaints on the one that's contacted you. And you'd want anything that they have for you to provide that in writing, and look at it and examine it up front, and maybe talk with a friend, a family, a banker, potentially a lawyer. Sometimes these agreements are so complex as well. You could also call the Department of Financial Institutions to see if there's any complaints, because both of us tend to get complaint issues on this, legitimate versus scam.
Yeah,
sometimes people say to us, what's the point of having my phone number on the no-call list, because I keep getting these telemarketing calls anyway? Well, here's a situation where if your number is on the no-call list and you receive a solicitation call, you know that this caller is violating state and federal law by calling your number that's on the list. So it's still an effective tool for helping you sort out legitimate versus violators.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. You know, we always talk about scammers, and sometimes it's hard to catch them, but you've had some success with scammers and getting, you know, catching them or at least returning money to people. Michelle, you've got some figures on that, I believe.
Well, we share all of our information and data and work on investigations with our federal partners, both the Federal Trade Commission and the Federal Communication Commission. And so recently there have been some fines put in place for some spoofed robocallers with the Federal Communication Commission. They proposed an $82 million fine against an individual and his company for making more than 21 million illegal spoofed calls in violation of this Truth in Caller ID Act. And so that's what we've been talking about today, misrepresenting what's on that caller ID. And that was it about selling health insurance. And then there's also been where they levied fines on a robocalling for almost $3 million for illegal calls made, and that was for a New Mexico company fined almost $3 million for playing a significant role in making illegal robocalls. They used a technology platform to help make millions of illegal calls to mobile phones to consumers without their express prior consent. So if you're on a no-call list, you can also override that by giving express prior consent is the terminology that's used, because maybe you do want to hear from business X or business Y,
sure,
and they can't contact you otherwise. And if you don't have that, they shouldn't be contacting you. And then the FTC also has an announcement where we've talked about tech support scams over time, and they had a settlement, and they'll be notifying consumers that are part of that where there are some refunds available based on a settlement of an advanced tech support. And those are identified consumers that will be reached out to by the Federal Trade Commission. So some successes with the federal partners and all the states combining together.
And I just want to go back to just a reminder about Hurricane Harvey, and now we've got Irma coming. Sandy, there's bound to be lots of scams out there relating to people who really want to do some good and be helpful.
Yeah, and the scams are already started. It's very predictable. Consumers who want to donate should go to the website of a charity that they know and trust, and one that has been around for several years. They're more likely to have an infrastructure in place that will get your money or your donated goods to the people who need help. Do not respond to a phone pitch, something you see on social media, or a text. They're likely to be fraudulent, and every major natural disaster we see scammers stepping in to swipe, you know, part of the, and people are so well-intentioned, and everyone's touched by the video they see on social media and on the news, and by all means help your fellow Americans, but do your research and go to the website of a charity that you know and trust.
Makes a lot of sense to me. And once again, here we are, our time about up. Thank you so much for being with us today. And you guys will be back
November.
Oh, my goodness me. You'll be back in October, won't you? No, you won't be back in
October. Well, unfortunately, we're off in October.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, in the meantime, thanks so much. Michelle Reinen, Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests. It's always fun to have them with us, and they'll be back in November, and we'll do it all over again. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Ben Fuda from the Allen Centennial Gardens will join us to talk about bulb planting and answer all of your flowering questions. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.